This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, the NBA offseason has completely taken over. It's the best offseason in sports. We get the Kawhi drama, but we also have the NBA draft, which comes up on Thursday night. Joining us now to break that all down is Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at SBN underscore Ricky. Ricky, thanks for taking some time today. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, so let's start with Michael Porter Jr. This is interesting. It looks like he's going to go somewhere in the top seven, but yesterday he's supposed to have a workout and he cancels it. He says he's been dealing with some sort of hip issue. The hip issue was originally what led to the back issue, but there's also a theory maybe that he's just playing people because he's got a promise somewhere in the top seven. What did you make out of this whole Michael Porter situation?
I think that his health concern is really vital entering this draft. I saw him play quite a bit as a high school player back when he was healthy on Nike's UIBL AAU circuit at USA Basketball at the McDonald's All-American game. I always thought he was the best player in that high school class, which also featured Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton, Wendell Carter, and a lot of the other top guys we're seeing who are going to be drafted at the top of this draft. So Porter's talent is just obvious when you see him. The ideal version of him is sort of a 6'11", three-level scorer, who sort of fits the direction that the league is going in these days. But these injuries, I think, are terrifying. He sort of has, like, 70-year-old man injuries when he's 19. I wonder, you know, his frame just isn't really filled out either. He was the second lightest player at the combine. I think he was only 210 pounds at 6'11". The injuries are going to really determine how successful his NBA career is, I think. He's probably the biggest boom or bust pick in this draft because you know, back injuries to big men are considered one of the worst things you can have. Seems like it's something he's going to have to overcome if he wants to have a successful career.
Yeah, I believe, Ricky, it's the same surgery that Dwight Howard had a couple of years ago, and he has not been the same player since having that surgery. But from your perspective, where would you be? What's the range you would be comfortable drafting him in?
I think he's probably going to go anywhere from, like, 7 to 9. I think that that's maybe the most likely spot for him. But it really just takes one team to fall in love with him, especially in a draft where most of the top players are big men. At a time when the league is kind of marginalizing traditional centers, someone like Porter is going to be really appealing. So I don't know. I mean, I expect this draft to be really wild because you have a lot of unpredictable franchises at the top. The Kings have in the second pick. It's like they can do literally anything. They're probably going to go against the consensus. It doesn't seem like they love Luka Doncic, who a lot of people think should be either the number one or number two pick. So, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be too out of line if the Kings ended up rolling the dice, taking Porter at number two. Really, any of those franchises at the top is just going to have to weigh, you know, where they think his raw talent level is at compared to the rest of the prospects in this draft and if they think the health concerns are going to be a long-term thing.
We're chatting NBA draft with Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter. It's at SBN underscore Ricky. Okay, Ricky, you mentioned Luka Doncic. Some people have him ranked as the number one player. Some people have DeAndre Ayton ranked as the number one player. Who's your top player in this draft?
I go with Luka for sure. I think he's just the most accomplished European player ever. You look at his accolades that he's accumulated over the past calendar year. Led Slovenia to basically a Cinderella run to a gold medal at Eurobasket. MVP of EuroLeague, which might be the best competition outside of the U.S. Final Four MVP there as well. Team wins the championship. So Doncic has just proven it at every single level in terms of his impact on winning. And then you look at his skill set, and I think his skill set fits in perfectly with the league today. Great ball handler, developing shooter, really, really good passer. He's also someone who competes on the defensive end. I think that's the thing people don't realize about Luka Doncic. He's, like, insanely competitive. You could put him probably right behind Colin Sexton as the most competitive, driven player in this class. He just fills the box score every single game and has proven that his game has a big impact on winning. So I think that that's why I would take Doncic number one. Ayton's going to put up monster statistics. Maybe something like 25 points and 12 rebounds every single night. But with his defensive question marks, with the defensive question marks for Ayton, I just think that Doncic's going to have a greater impact on winning basketball games.
Yeah, so how concerned, Ricky, are you about the defense with DeAndre Ayton? Because obviously that's been the number one concern with him coming out.
Yeah, obviously defense is really difficult for young big men to grasp. It could take him, you know, a few years to turn into a solid defensive big man. And at that point, even if he's only 24 or 25, I think he's going to end up looking like a great draft pick because he is so physically talented. If he gets on the defensive end, he's going to be a terrific player. But I think it's concerning because the problem is instincts. It's not physicality. I mean, he's got every tool you would want to be a really great defensive player. The one thing I will say in his defense is that he rarely played center throughout high school or college. He's been playing power forward the last 2 years. His past season at Arizona, he was with Dusan Ristić, who's sort of a plodding, slow center. Now, DeAndre Ayton, 7'1", 260 pounds, he's going to be an NBA center. There's no doubt about that. And with that comes a lot of responsibilities. You have to hold down the back line of the defense, need to know rotations, how to play different pick-and-roll coverages. So I think there's a lot for DeAndre Ayton to grasp on the mental side of the game, but physically he checks every box you could possibly imagine.
All right, Ricky, I know another guy you're high on is Jaren Jackson Jr. In fact, you have an article up about how if you had the opportunity, if Atlanta and Memphis are trading down, one of the guys you would trade up for is Jaren Jackson Jr. What do you like about him?
I just think his game fits in perfectly to the way the league is trending. He's a big man who's really mobile, agile, and long, 7'5" wingspan. He's shown the ability to stick with guards on switches. He's able to get down into a stance and really slide his feet with opposing ball handlers. Great shot blocker. He blocked more shots than Mo Bamba at a permanent rate. He's also the best shooter in this class, unquestionably, of the center prospects. He hit 40% of his threes, 80% of his free throws this past season at Michigan State. He didn't put up the big per-game numbers like Ayton and Bagley. He only averaged about 11 points and 6 boards a night, but he was way underutilized by Tom Izzo at Michigan State. He's another player who was playing out of position the whole year at power forward. So I think that Jaren Jackson Jr. is just scratching the surface of his talent level. He's the youngest player in the draft. I mean, he's a big man who is mobile, blocks shots, and hits threes. What more can you possibly ask for? Even though his numbers weren't really big on a per-game basis, I think that his talent level is just overwhelming, and he should be someone who's much better in the NBA than he was in college.
Yeah, you know, Ricky, it's funny you say that they misused him there at Michigan State. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I remember watching the tournament game against my Syracuse Orange. I'm like, where is Jaren Jackson? He wasn't even in the game. I mean, in the second half, he barely played against Syracuse. It was kind of perplexing to me. So, Ricky, how would you have your top five in this draft? Like, who are your top five guys?
My top five guys, well, I think Luka and Jaren Jackson are a level ahead of everyone else. I'd have Luka number one, Jaren Jackson number two.
So you got him ahead of Ayton.
What was that?
So you have him ahead of Ayton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And then three, I guess, Ayton. I have some question marks about Ayton, but, I mean, he is so physically talented that we'll go with him at three. Four, five, I mean, I can talk myself into Bagley. And I like Wendell Carter more than Bamba. The center from Duke, Wendell Carter, I feel like he has a really high floor, and he has sneaky high upside. Everyone's sort of viewing him as kind of the safe pick in this draft. I'm talking about Wendell Carter here. But he has, like, no holes in his skill set, basically. Really good rebounder, solid shot blocker. I think he's going to be the second best shooter of all the big men behind Jaren Jackson. The question is just lateral quickness for him, but I think he can kind of make up for it with basketball IQ, with his length. So I like Wendell Carter a little bit. I'll put him at number five.
A couple more minutes with Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. Yeah, and Wendell Carter, another guy that, you know, didn't get to show off his skill set the whole time because he's playing with another big in Bagley, and they were playing in the zone, so he didn't get to show off his skill set completely either. Speaking of Marvin Bagley, you mentioned the defense with DeAndre Ayton. Obviously, that's a concern with Bagley as well. You can make the argument that part of the reason that Duke went to that 2-3 zone was because Bagley was such a poor defender. He also does not shoot the ball great from the perimeter. The shot does not look great. He doesn't shoot free throws great. I mean, where do you stand on Bagley? Because it seems like, I mean, he puts up crazy numbers, but are those the type of numbers? Does he have the skills that translate to him being a really, really great NBA player?
Yeah, that's a big question mark. It's kind of funny. He's become a tweener in an era where there are supposed to be no tweeners, but it's because what he really is a traditional power forward, and that's kind of the position that's been phased out. He doesn't block enough shots. He doesn't have enough length to play center. Offensively, now you have big wings playing power forward in the NBA. Bagley's not like the knockdown shooter that you want there. You expect someone in that position to look more like Trevor Ariza at this point than Marvin Bagley. I do think Bagley has some sneaky potential to be like a really special offensive player in the league, though, especially if he develops his shot, if he develops his ball handling. He did hit 39% of his threes despite the poor free throw rate this year. So we'll see if that's able to translate to the league as he gets older. He's already able to grab a rebound and push it down the court by himself and finish. We've seen him have a variety of, like, Euro steps to create space for himself. So I think there's a chance Bagley could be a really special offensive player, and people are maybe writing him off a little too quickly because of the defensive question marks. He's just so athletic. He plays with such a high motor on the offensive end that I think he's like a safe pick. If you want a comparison for him, John Collins in Atlanta, but like a better version of that, a souped-up version of John Collins is kind of what I think you're getting out of Marvin Bagley. But if he develops his ball handling and develops his shooting, he could end up being a whole other level ahead of that.
Yeah, and he's already making a lot of money. He signed that Puma endorsement deal, so he's making a lot of money. So that's good for Marvin Bagley. Ricky, I feel like I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you about Trae Young. It seems like the most polarizing player in this draft. Where do you stand on him?
You're right. He is the most polarizing player. I like Trae Young because in an era that values shooting and passing more than ever, those are the two skills Trae Young does better than anyone else in this class. If you're looking for a comparison for him, I go back to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas was great for Boston, especially that one year. But, I mean, he did get exposed a bit in the playoffs. Granted, he was playing hurt at the time as well. So it's just like, how good is Trae Young going to be in the playoffs when it seems like all these teams now are trying to switch onto the weakest defender? If Trae Young's team is playing the Rockets, the Rockets are going to try to get him to switch onto James Harden every single time. I think he might be one of the weakest defensive guards in the league, especially at the onset of his career. I do think he's got some, the frame to bulk up a little bit. Now he's really skinny. He's like 177 pounds. But the question is just, is his offensive value going to be so immense that it makes up for whatever you're losing with him on defense? I certainly think it's possible. I mean, he's someone who just changes the flow of the game because he's able to pop at any single time for a shot. You can never go under for a screen on him. And he's also a good enough passer that when teams trap him, he can make a play to facilitate, set up a teammate for an assist. So I really like Trae Young. I would be willing to gamble on him, but there's some obvious downsides with him. And really, he's just going to have to be perfect mentally when he gets to the NBA. His feel for the game, he's not going to be able to have all the turnovers and poor shot selection we saw at times at Oklahoma. As long as he improves that part, I think his skills are going to lead him to have a very successful career.
All right, Rick, you got about 2 minutes left to work with here. Between the area of 7 and 14, we're seeing the three small forwards. If you look at Miles Bridges, Mikal Bridges, and also Kevin Knox, which one of those guys do you like the most, and is there one of those guys that really you're not high on at all?
I like all three of them to an extent. I would say I like Miles the most of the three, Miles Bridges from Michigan State. He's kind of the guy who everyone's forgetting about in this class right now. We're in a time where the league really values athletic guys who are in like the 6'6", 6'7", range, who can switch everything defensively, put the ball on the floor, and hit a jump shot. Miles Bridges can do all of those things. He is an elite athlete. Every other thing in his skill set is like good, not great. But he's a capable shooter, if not an amazing shooter. He's a pretty decent ball handler and passer, if not elite at those skills. But I just think he's someone who fits in perfectly with the way the league's going. And he's going to have a more successful career than people think. It's kind of surprising to me that he could fall outside of the top 10. But, you know, he didn't get a ton better statistically at Michigan State his second year. His free throw percentage did improve quite a bit, and that gives me some confidence in his jump shot. I just think if you look at the conference finals this year, Miles Bridges could have been on the floor during any of those games. He's the type of player that NBA teams win with nowadays.
No doubt about it. All right, well, that's Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. Follow his stuff on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. Ricky, thanks so much for the time today, man, and enjoy the NBA draft.
Thanks.
Yeah, it really is going to be fascinating. It's an interesting draft because really, after number one, we don't know what's going to happen because it seems like, even though Ricky believes that Luka Doncic is the best player in the draft, but it seems like the Phoenix Suns are going to go with DeAndre Ayton. After that, we really don't know what's going to happen in the draft. And Ricky mentioned Sacramento's a wild card. Nobody knows what that team's going to do. All right, listen to Brian Barrett right here on SB Nation Radio.